Women use emasculation as a way of communicating with men so commonly in relationships that we've become numb to it. In fact, it's so pervasive throughout our entire culture that people hardly even notice it when it happens. Today, I want to talk a little bit about why this is happening, how you can recognize it when it is happening, and what you can do about it. This is Life 2.0. Let's talk about it. So the first question you have to ask yourself is, why do women use these emasculation techniques? And we'll get into specifically what these things are, but we need to start there because I think it's important to recognize what the psychology of women is and how they would come to the conclusion that the best way to communicate with their partner, their man, their husband, in a relationship is to emasculate him, to cause him to feel inferior, to feel less of a man in some way, shape, or form. And what she hopes to gain from communicating in this way. It makes no sense. I mean, anyone who knows anything about relationships knows that in order to have a healthy relationship with anybody, well, there's got to be some level of mutual respect. And emasculation makes that completely impossible. So frequently I hear from guys in the comments about their problem with women having to do with respect. And really, that respect is, or that disrespect, I should say, is expressed primarily through different forms of emasculation. So, why do women do it? Well, I've mentioned this, I don't know, multiple times in videos in the past, so I'm gonna mention it here, but I'm gonna get into more detail. Women live in a state of fear that you and I, as men, do not experience. The state of fear that they have is so built into them, it's so baked into them, I would say that it's even genetic, it's primal. It's a primary experience that they have. Why do they have this? Well, since the beginning of time, maintaining the health and safety of women has been the mission of our culture. We preserve the lives of women. That's why men are disposable, that's why we're sacrificial, because the only way our tribe, our country, our culture, our race continues is if there's at least a handful of women to repopulate the place after we men have all killed ourselves in some great battle. So with that in mind, men are dedicated to the preservation of women's lives, but then again, so are women. They're pre-programmed to hold it, Dibu, hold it. Come here. They're pre-programmed to preserve their own lives as well. All right, so you might be thinking, okay, John, so we get it. Women and children first, all that bullshit. We preserve the lives of women, and women preserve the lives of women, and they live in fear. So what does that have to do with us? Why are they picking on men? Well, when a woman brings a man into her life, it's a bit like a lion tamer bringing a lion home for the first time. You, my friend, are that lion. And she is the lion tamer. Her defensive and fearful way of thinking and believing is that she has to protect herself at a very primal level from you. Yes. And I say, well, you may have never done anything to give her any reason to believe that you would do anything except care for her and love her and be the best husband possible. And it's not personal. It's not about you specifically. It's about men in general. So since women have a self-preservation mechanism that overrides just about everything else in their psyches, protecting themselves from any potential threat is foundational to who they are. And when they are living with a man who is physically stronger than they are and is superior to them physically and in some ways, you know, intellectually in many ways, it's a threat to their existence, a threat to their potential offspring. But the difficulty here is she needs you to get those offspring and she may need you to protect and provide. So you can see there's this push and pull to deal with that is very, very difficult for them to work out. Women see emasculation as a way of exercising a level of control over men. That's basically what it is. Because they are not physically capable of dominating a man, or even potentially defending themselves from a man, if it comes down to that, they need to do something to remove that man's testosterone-driven dominance and alpha mindset, so that she can not only feel like she's safe, like she has some control in this situation, but that her offspring are safe as well. So by using her ability to communicate and using their, we'll call it emotional intelligence or emotional insight, since they live in this emotional world, they are going to use emotions and psychology as their primary weapon to essentially neuter men. And so literally they are emasculating us by removing our masculine dominance from the relationship through psychological and emotional means. And yeah, it's been going on for a very, very long time. In fact, it happens so frequently and so often that we don't even think about it. The irony here is that if men did something similar to women and we made them feel like they were not worthy, or they were less than, or they were in some way inferior to us, or we were constantly judging and critical of them, people would think it was some form of emotional abuse. You know, there would be a felony involved, you know what I mean? Men would be going to prison for that. That's just the kind of thing they'd put us in jail for. But for women, it's just a woman. I mean, really. And what's so funny about this, when you think about all this equal rights stuff, is that they can treat men who are human beings as if they're not human beings, and get away with it. And society just turns the other way and doesn't even consider it a problem, because men are physically stronger and all that stuff. But if a man used those same techniques on a woman, it would definitely be a breaking of the law. It would definitely be a problem. So the emasculation isn't just something that women do individually. It's something that is culturally ingrained in them. Like, they think not only should they do this individually, but it's perfectly okay as far as the culture is concerned. There's nothing necessarily wrong with acting this way. Now, these emasculation techniques are quite sophisticated, and sometimes they can be even quite subtle. You might not even see them as being forms of emasculation. In fact, there may be a lot of guys out there who are thinking, John, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. My woman would never emasculate me. I am too much of a man to allow that to happen. I am too masculine to be emasculated. Well, let's just see about that. So what they will do is they will use your masculinity and your masculine way of thinking and your masculine code of ethics and the way you behave in order to emasculate you. Yes, they will use your masculinity against you. Case in point, the damsel in distress. This is my favorite form of emasculation. You may think, John, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. That's not emasculation, that's just manipulation. Yeah, it's manipulation. It's exactly what it is. So she's gonna trigger you to respond in a specific way because she knows the way your masculinity works. So she is gonna pretend or act out in some way that she is in distress. She needs your help. She may be facing some terrible, terrible demon in the, you know, out in the world, and you've gotta sweep in there and do something to save her. Now, you may be thinking that you're being heroic, that you are acting as a true man does. You are obviously fulfilling our destiny to provide and protect for women. We are protecting her. We are protecting her, for God's sake. This is what we do. This is what we were programmed. We sacrifice ourselves on behalf of her. She knows that. She knows exactly that. And so she's going to play you like a fiddle, my friend. She's going to have you eaten out of her hand before you know it. You're going to be writing her checks. You're going to be putting her up in a hotel. You're going to be maybe having her move in with you. She's got the keys to your car. Before you know it, she knows the PIN on your ID, on your ATM card. Yeah, you have just been played perfectly. So she used the damsel in distress. You saved her. She appreciated it. You know that you're a good man now. And she tells you you're a good man now. And now you trust her because she sees that you're a good man. And now you're just going to give her anything and everything that she wants. And not only that, but before you know it, you're going to start putting her on a pedestal because she's saying so many wonderful things about you. You're thinking, she loves me. She must be the best woman of all time. So I'm going to start to honor her. I'm going to put her on a pedestal because I am that sacrificial man. And that sacrificial man worked out just right. I worked out just right. Yeah, and then she's going to leave you high and dry and broke. You're going to be thinking, what the hell happened? Well, now you are the monster. Now you become the demon. And some other guy is going to be the hero. See how the roles flip around? Yes, now you're no longer the masculine hero of the story. No, now you're the dragon. You're the monster. And some poor guy's coming along to save her again. Yes, and he's going to go through the whole same charade that you went through. So this is the way the damsel in distress story ends up emasculating you. Because in the end, you're realizing that you were played. You're realizing that she essentially used your masculinity against you. You are feeling like you're less than a man. You went from being a hero to being a zero overnight. And now you're being accused of all kinds of terrible, evil things that you never did. And you're wondering, how did I get into this situation to begin with? Well, you got played. That's simple as that. The next game they play with us is the seductress. Oh, who has not been played by a seductress? And you know, sometimes, even if you know you're getting played by a seductress, it's just so much fun. You know, when she's telling you how much she enjoys sex on the first date, you know, you're like, oh, I think you and I can get along. I enjoy sex too. We have that in common. What do you know? Who knew? Well, we must be soulmates. We must be soulmates. Yeah, she's just playing you, man. She is playing you. Yeah, and she won't dump it all out to you on the very first date most of the time. Sometimes they will. These young girls, they'll do that. But the more mature ones, the ones who are a little bit smarter, they're going to, you know, pull you along. They're going to string you along. Like, you know how when you get that fish nibbling at the end of your line? You know it hasn't bit the hook yet. So you got to just kind of keep pulling that line just slightly, just to make that thing interested, you know? Keep it coming. And then eventually, you bite down on the hook and bam, you're flapping around on the shore. And she's got you. Yes, the seductress. She's going to use sex. She's going to use sex overtly to wrap you up. Yes. You're going to get played by her in bed, and you're going to think, I am the best man ever. She's going to tell you, you are the best I ever had. You are the best. You are the best. Oh, all those other guys could not measure up, if you know what I mean. You are the one, man. I've never been with anyone like you before. Oh, I orgasm so quickly when we're together. I don't know what it is. And oh, you can just take me anytime you want. Yeah, if I'm asleep, just stick it in. Just do what you gotta do. I don't care. I just love the idea that you want to be inside me. Oh my God. I have heard these stories and all they're doing is playing you. She's just playing you. She just wants you to think that you have struck gold, you know? All the while, just like the damsel in distress, just a different mechanism for control. She's using the sex to get you to bite down hard on that hook. Once you're hooked on and you're addicted to that sex and you're getting it on a regular basis, she's gonna start manipulating you now. Now she's gonna start playing you, getting the things that she wants from you. Again, the ATM card, the car, moving in, the whole nine yards. The entire time, she has just been getting everything that she needs from you. Now, when she is done with you, when she gets to that point where she's realized that she can't squeeze any more juice out of this fruit, I don't mean to call you a fruit, but you get the what I mean. She's going to let you go. She's going to let you go. She's going to throw her line out for another fish. She's going to start looking for the next victim, the next opportunity. And on some level, all women are the seductress in the beginning of a relationship. Just FYI, on some level, the vast majority of them are going to use sex to get you hooked into this relationship. So just be aware of that. Now, the next one happens to married guys, where you've been together for a couple of years, maybe a few years, maybe you've got some kids, and now she becomes the queen mother. Yes, just like the Queen of England. And she's going to be the matriarch of your house. She is going to have slowly taken control of one system after another, after another, after another, until finally she's just relieving you of all of your responsibilities. You no longer have access to the checkbook. She controls everything. And you've got to go to her to get anything done. You've got to check in with her to go someplace. You want to buy something? You got to call her up and ask her if you can have some money. Yes. She's handling all of it. And Not only that, not only is she in control of it all, but she sees you as a weak also-ran. Like, you're just another one of the kids. You're just another thing she's got to deal with. She's treating you like she's doing you a favor, taking care of all this stuff. You know, she's making you feel like you're the oldest kid, but you're more like a stepchild. Because she loves her children. Her natural born children she loves. But you are like the redheaded stepchild. Sorry, redheads. But yeah, she's going to treat you just like that, you know? She thinks that you're just that guy that she's got to take care of. And you have just kind of gotten yourself stuck in this situation, and you don't know how to get out of it. You know, suddenly now you've got another mother. And you had no intention when you got married of having a mother. But you've got one now, and she's going to ride that horse as long as she can. Because she's in complete control of everything. And you are just eventually going to become part of the furniture. You are not an essential part of this organization any longer. And it's just a matter of time before this relationship ends with you out on the street or living in a studio apartment somewhere downtown by yourself. So just prepare yourself. Just pack a bag. Just pack a bag. Have one ready. So when the time comes, you'll be ready to go. Think of it like those bug out bags. That's kind of what it is. It's a bug out bag. So now let's get into some of the more common everyday behaviors that we see all the time. I mean, the criticizing a man, a woman criticizing a man in a destructive way, in order to make him feel like he is not measuring up, is a form of emasculation. Absolutely. There's no question about it. What goes along with the criticizing is the judgment. Nagging. That's it. Nagging. Criticizing and nagging. These things are like brothers and sisters. So you get nagged for not doing something that she wants you to do. And then you get criticized for doing it and not doing it up to her specifications. This is emasculation. Make no doubt about it. She is exercising a level of control over you. She is the lion tamer here. And her nagging and criticizing is a way of keeping you in place. Because so long as she's in a position where she can nag you and criticize you, she's in a position of power over you. Make no doubt about it. That's all this is about. It's a power play. Plain and simple. Comparing. Oh, this is a great one. None of my other boyfriends were like that. You know, Sarah's husband doesn't do that. Sarah's husband's better than you. You know, they make a lot of money. Like, her husband makes a lot more money than you do. They're going on vacation in Paris this year. You know, what are we going to do? We have to go to Atlantic City again? Really? Do I have to go there? Why can't we have those nice things? Why is our life like this? Yeah. All that comparison stuff is, again, just another way for her to maintain some level of control over you. So long as she keeps you emotionally in your place and you are unable to express yourself naturally and wholly as a man, she is the lion tamer and you are the whipped, beaten lion. These next three kind of all go together. Guilt, shame, and victimization of herself, self-victimization. So you're not doing something, and this all goes with comparison too, it all fits together, it's all such a neat puzzle. So you're not doing something that she feels you should be doing, that you are not measuring up in some way. And she's nagged you about it, and she's criticized you about it, and now something happens, you know, related to that issue. And because you didn't do whatever you were supposed to do, whatever she thought you were supposed to be doing, something negative has happened to the family. Something's negative has happened to her. Oh my God. Now she's a victim of your incompetence. Yes, she is a victim of your lack of ability to be a worthy man. Ooh, man, when that happens, you're just stuck. You're completely screwed. Because now she is the victim. Ooh. And now because she's the victim and you're the perpetrator because of your incompetence, because of your lack of masculinity, forget the fact that she's been emasculating you the whole time, but because you're the victim, she's the victim, you're the perpetrator, she's been nagging you about it, she's been criticizing you about it, she's been comparing you with other men who have been doing it right, for God's sake, now you're guilty and she's going to shame you. Look at that. That's just an emotional, like, quadfecta. I mean, I don't know, you know, how many levels of emasculation are involved there. It's just layer after layer after layer after layer. I mean, I don't even know how a man can breathe under those circumstances. I mean, his testicles must just be shriveling back up and going up into his torso because he has just been emasculated all the way through and through. And not only that, but while this is happening to him, all he feels is shame, which has got to be the single most destructive emotion on the planet. He just can't even look himself in the mirror because he let his woman down, you know? And she just knows it, and she's just driving it home. You know, she's just making him feel worse and worse and worse at every moment. And maybe he's been shamed in front of the children. You know, I mean, God knows women don't care about that shit. Yeah, if you're not man enough for her, then you're not man enough for her kids either. So yeah, she will embarrass you in front of the kids. She'll humiliate you. Absolutely she will. Yeah, so that just layers on another emasculation. And if a woman tells this story, and she'll tell it, not too different from the way I told it, all of her women friends will be like, oh, he's a terrible man. You know, he's a terrible human being. You deserve better, honey. You deserve better. Yeah, that's the world we live in. Of course, all of these emasculations are just a way for her to get the upper hand in the relationship, just like the lion tamer is trying to get the upper hand in the relationship with the lion. And they're all forms of disrespect. By removing your sense of self-respect, then you cannot have any masculine energy. Your testosterone levels are going to go through the floor. You're going to feel more and more like you're a beaten man, like you're just not good enough. You've been compared, you've been criticized, you've been nagged, you've been shamed. You carry guilt. You're just lucky to even have a woman, for God's sake. Yes, and that's when the final emasculation finally hits you, you know? You've been put in your place. You've lost control of everything. She's the queen mother. She's manipulated you. She's denigrated you. She's destroyed every last fiber of any form of masculine energy that you possibly have. And that's when she divorces you. It's just like pouring salt on the wound. It's like, I mean, you're just bleeding out, you know? You're just bleeding out emotionally. And she just backs up a pickup truck full of salt and just starts dumping it on you. Yeah, she's gonna reject you now. She's kicking you out. She's rejecting you, she's kicking you out because you got it. You're not man enough. That's exactly what it is. That's what she's basically telling you. And then, if you're lucky, she'll get you one more time because she's going to get another man before the divorce even happens. Yes, you'll be in that 6 to 12 months of separation. Yeah, and she's already got another guy. Yeah, she's got somebody else filling the bed, doing the man's work around the house. She's looking for a new victim. Yes. And then the irony of all of this, despite all of this pain and anguish and torture, real just torture these men have been through, they're sad that she's gone. That shows you, it's like the lion doesn't realize the tamer has been mean to him the whole time. You know, the tamer is not the lion's friend, okay? But if the tamer dies, or the tamer gets fired or leaves, the lion will be sad. And that's basically what's happened to you. You are the whipped lion, and you're sad that the tamer has sent you off to be on your own. The tamer's going to find a new lion, and you are stuck on your own in your own little cage, in your own little one-bedroom cage down in the city, too far away from anybody to be a problem. And she's going to take all your stuff, your house, everything that she can get her hands on. This is the emasculation society that we live in. And I know I've been a little hyperbolic in this joke about emasculation. I'm laughing because it's true. I'm laughing because it's sad. I'm laughing because if I didn't laugh, it would be tragic. I didn't want this video to be sad. I wanted it to be funny. But it's both, you know? It's a tragedy that we live with this bullshit in our lives and that we put up with it. And not only that, but the society completely endorses this entire way of living. Like if you went to a therapist and you said, she's being mean to me, they would say, man up, dude. She can't be mean to you. You look at you, you're 250 pounds, she's 110. What do you mean she's mean to you? Yeah, yeah. Women have no idea. What it is that we men are so committed to providing and protecting, to being in this relationship, to being long-term, to being the husband and the father. We want that. This is what drives us. And women realize that, just like sex drives us. The whole concept of being a protector and provider is ingrained in us at a genetic level. We want to do that. We want to be the protector and providers. And they know it. And I don't think that family is nearly as important to women as it is to men. In fact, I remember seeing a statistic recently that kind of proved that out. I'll have to dig it up somewhere, but I saw it on a YouTube video a couple days ago where some scientists were talking about some research they had done, and they were surprised to learn that through these questionnaires that men were much more interested in having long-term relationships and getting married and having families than women were. I don't know if that's a recent phenomenon or if that's something that's always been that way. But nevertheless, that's what we're living in right now. And women know it. And women know how to use it against us. All right, you guys, that's all I got for you today. I certainly hope you've enjoyed this video. If you have, please like and subscribe. If you know someone who's in a relationship where he's being emasculated, please share the video with them. Anyway, till next time, stay healthy. And if you can, stay single.